So we were we realized about 5 minutes in the conversation that we should be recording this, and so we set everything up, and we were on the subject of motion controls in terms of abstraction of games and sort of the needless ham-fisting of, you know, alternative, new, innovative things into games.
Well, it goes back to, you know, everything is good in moderation. And everybody, like, it's the same problem with a lot of technology, is that somebody was like, oh, cool, something new, it's got to be the greatest thing ever, let's use it in every way possible, regardless of if we need to or should.
Progress!
Well, the other thing I noticed with the Move, when I was reading the article before, is it attaches onto the PS3, like it's another component.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like if you're going to play a movable game, there's any option besides that. Whereas the Wii has you can still go back to the GameCube controller.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from a money-making point of view, that's intelligent, but as a consumer, no. I don't want to buy.
Well, in that case, it's sort of like an opt-in thing, because it's like, well, either I want to pay for this Move thing and then have access to the games,
yeah,
or I can just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the Wii, it was kind of like, well, I'm buying a Wii, and if I want the classic controller, I can use that. Or, you know, if you're buying a Wii, you probably have 4 GameCube controllers kicking around.
Yeah. Cause...
Well, it's not even, it becomes a software issue. Because, I mean, what are the only games that actually support the classic controller? Brawl, No More Heroes 2 actually supports it.
Oh, cool.
Like, you can't just pick any game. And...
Monster Hunter Tri.
That's on Wii?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So did the Zelda game, though. You could play it with the GameCube controller. Twilight Princess, yeah.
On the Wii
version? On the
version?
Wii, yeah.
Or, because you could just take the GameCube version and stick it into Wii, and then you would need a GameCube controller to play it.
Well, on the Wii version, geez. No, because Rebecca had the Wii version, and she could play it with her GameCube controller if she got tired of hack and slashing with the wrong hand.
Okay.
This is our research.
Yeah.
I sat there and watched her. That's the only reason,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, one time, Randy Beeman.
Oh.
But even then, like, it's not even, like, some games do it well, and some games are, like, I'm thinking of Boom Blocks here.
Okay.
You play Boom Blocks?
No, I haven't.
Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks is the one with the dice, right?
No. Okay, you ever played Jenga?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now make that in a virtual world so that you can do a lot of crazy stuff with it.
Okay.
Like, there's a bunch of game modes. Like, the basic mode is there's a tower of blocks, and you go and A and B to grab a block, and then you got to gently pull it out. And some stages are,
and this,
like...
this is done with the Wiimote.
Right.
Okay.
And some stages are like, okay, pull it... Like, pull out as many pieces as you can before it falls, and then your high score. Mm-hmm. Some stages are pull out, like, make the thing topple by pulling out as few pieces as possible.
Ah.
Some stages, they change it up, and they say, flick the Wiimote to throw a ball at it and try to knock it down. And that's where they made the, they put in a, what is that game? With the four towers? Warlords.
Yes.
They put in a Warlords mode, where it's a four-player game, and you flick the balls at each other. Because then there's, like vital crystals as well as regular blocks, and everything is physics-based.
Okay.
Like, the game is real... And then there's even, like, a sandbox mode, where they're like, here, set up your own tower, and then choose your rules and choose your space. They even have, like, little creatures that run around, so some of them, they make, like, stages, and you have to, like, knock the block-shaped cows off of the platforms, or you take out the stand and knock all four down at once.
Okay, but your point is here that it's a game built around the motion control, and it pulls it off well.
Well, it's...
As like...
A whole?
Well, yeah, like, they said, okay, here's a motion control, here's how we can use it well, and then they made a game based solely on that, and they made a great game out of it. Steven Spielberg directed, too.
And you had a couple examples before that kind of used alternative controls as just kind of a little finishing touch.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, to go back to Twilight Princess, like, mm-hmm, I don't think I could stand playing Twilight Princess with the Wiimote.
Well, as we've discussed before, my only qualms with it was that it changed Link. He became right-handed from left-handed,
yeah,
but... which is a big thing. Like, I mean, if you're going to play a classic game, obviously you have appreciation for the game,
yeah,
and you shouldn't change a basic function. And being a left-handed person, I was deeply hurt that it had to be a right-handed control.
What do you mean a basic function?
It's a bit... The character is left-handed.
You could block shots from the right side, because that's where you hold his shield.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they mirrored the entire game, so it doesn't really...
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh, that hurts my brain. Oh, don't tell me that. Now I gotta...
Now you gotta look into it?
Okay, no. Okay, quick side note. When you're hacking your Wii, one of the common ways to do it actually involves a Twilight Princess save data.
Yeah.
But we did it once, and it was the creepiest thing, because the instructions were, okay, download the save, put it on the SD card, and then load from that, like move the save back over to the Wii, and then load that save. And then what happens is, it says, okay, now, when you start the game, talk to the guy in front of you, or just turn around. And the game loaded, and it was like the very first playable part of the game, and the guy was in front of us, and we were like, it can't be as simple as turn around. And we turned, and as soon as we hit 180 degrees, the screen goes black, and like DOS-style console comes up, and it just starts running the hack program, and it starts installing the homebrew browser on the Wii.
Cool.
Wow.
It was really creepy, but really cool. Like, it was just like, I turned around. That made it happen.
So, yeah, motions in games. I guess motion. Turning around is motion.
Yeah, like, it's forcing the motion control into basically using it where it's not necessary.
Yeah.
And this is where I was talking about the beauty of abstraction in games.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we're also talking about, Dave and Joel were talking about it in Bayonetta, or specifically Dave, I guess.
Oh?
Where he was saying he loves games where, you know, you have a punch button and you have a kick button, and that's how you punch and kick. As opposed to even, I guess, like, the Fight Night, like the actual boxing kind of games, where you have to, like, hold, like go back and up on the stick, or, like, around and sideways, or even if you play a game like Skate, like, I think you guys both know Skate.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like, okay, flick tricks. Like that is actually kind of cool, and it's a new way to do it, and they did it in such a way that it usually works. But it's a pain in the ass. Like, they expect you to pull off, like, 30 different stick movements when I have trouble pushing it directly forward sometimes.
Well, for me, what comes to mind when you say kick and punch is Tekken 6, or Tekken 5, or whatever we're on now, where you gotta back up, go forward, kick, jump, fight, like, just to get one combo.
Yeah, Tekken always seemed inscrutable to me, because, like,
punch and kick should be all you need.
Well, no, like, I never really... Tekken doesn't have any iconic sort of things to it. Like, if you're playing Street Fighter, it's like, okay, you do the dragon motion to do a dragon punch. But it's like, I don't have... There's nothing for me to latch onto in Tekken.
The wood character.
Mokujin?
Yes. He's the guy to be.
Mokujin is so awesome. Okay, but now imagine like this. Like, a classic brawler like Streets of Rage.
Okay.
You know that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good.
So, Streets of Rage.
Right. So, okay, it's sort of like levels of abstraction. Like, you take Streets of Rage. You walk right, you have punch, and you have jump, and that's, like, all you need. And then the challenge comes from that, getting through with just those. Now
or
we
River
add
City
in,
Ransom, for example.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Now, if you sort of level it up, in a sense, where now you bring in fighting game elements. Because what you're talking about, like, back, forward, and whatever, that's, like, a lot of...
Well, that's the 360, whatever, the 3D world they got going on, almost, I guess,
well, no,
is why.
It's more of a fighting game trope, because it's the idea of combos and directions. Because, I mean, there's, in Street Fighter 2, it was always just, like, quarter circle forward, punch, quarter circle back, kick. And they've just been trying to add more moves,
they've just
which require
built on
more
it.
Things.
Okay,
but sort of to take that idea that like something like Little Fighter, where it's defense and then two directions and then either attack or jump, and those are the only three buttons you have. You take something like that, and then you almost start to get towards like Little Fighter or Devil May Cry game, where it's like it becomes more complicated, but there's still this abstraction where the actual ability to do things are very easily accessible, but not, like, the challenge comes in trying to figure out which ones to use at the right time, the best ways to aim, all of, like...
So it's not a matter of being physically able to do the thing, because physically able to do the thing is still, can you move your finger onto the button?
Right. Like, the challenge is still in... The challenge is in the skill of using it, not in, you know...
At the right times, when you need them, you know.
Yeah, like,
tactical
choices. You're not fighting the controls, basically. And I mean, you know, you keep leveling that up, you get to something like Devil May Cry. But now, imagine if we were to push that like a thing farther, where, like...
You had 50 special moves, each of them required, key stick commands within, like, you know, 5 degrees of accuracy and stuff.
Well, not that's part of it, but I'm thinking more like... Like, almost, like, imagine now if they tried to do things from, like, Heavy Rain, where...
Jason!
Like...
Jason!
In Heavy Rain, there is a segment where you have to start the car.
Yes.
To start the car, you press, like, R1 to reach into your pocket, and then you have to move the stick around until it says you found your keys. Then you release R1 to pull them out, and then you have to, like, aim for the key in the door, pull down on the right stick to shift, and it's like... It's like, why do you need that bullshit?
By the time you started the car, it's like, well, why the hell am I playing this game?
I mean, like it's cool, but like imagine, like, but that's why Heavy Rain was kind of able to do it, because they focus on that.
Mm.
But now, like, try to imagine that you're doing that, you know, in Streets of Rage. Like, you have other stuff you're trying to figure out. You don't need to deal with that kind of bullshit.
Oh, try to do that in Devil May Cry. It's like, okay, so I want to jump up into the air, spin around with my guns blazing, and then fall down on this guy specifically with my sword. It's like, okay, so I have to get to the guns in the holster. Okay, aim your arms to the guns.
So then,
it's
what
like,
we're
okay,
saying,
right stick forward, left stick back, and I'll switch it, and I'll switch it. Okay, I'm running.
Is games should stick to the field in which they are designed to be in almost, and have these other things as augmentations. Don't make them another sole thing to focus on in the game. Like, as you were saying with Devil May Cry and adding all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has really good concepts. They just can't be merged efficiently together? Effectively?
No, they can.
Oh, really?
But people ham-fist it.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, you know, okay, we wanna make it more real. Okay, first of all, I don't want my video games to be real. I want them to be video games.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the Project Natal, because I think I hate, like, 90% of what they're planning with that.
That's the one with the kid, right?
Yeah. No, that's the Xbox's one. Where it's completely, like...
Which one is Milo, then?
No, that's still Natal.
Oh, okay.
But, like... Ooh, what was I saying? Like, you know... And basically, like, here's the problem with, like, Heavy Rain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that car scene... They just make you do that at the end of the scene, and it's actually kind of weird. Like, Heavy Rain has its own issues. Mm-hmm. But what they were saying was, what would have been good was there's, like, a scene where you're being chased, and, like, you need to get into your car in a hurry. So in that case, you could use it to heighten the tension in something like
that. Yeah, because it's like, this guy's under stress, he's scrambling for his keys, he's, you know, he's hearing, like, footsteps down the alley and everything.
Okay. I mean, it's almost like a Dungeons and Dragons style thing.
Oh?
Where, yeah, like like,
well, yeah, because you kind of selectively, you know, choose what to focus on. Because it's like, well, if nothing's going on, we need to get to the next town. Okay, 3 days pass. You're in the next town.
Yeah. Or not even. I'm talking about, like, the Take 20 idea.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like everything is perfectly fine. You want to lockpick the door? Yeah, it happens because there's no challenge to it. You will get it eventually just by trying.
Gotcha.
But then it's like, you know, if you want, like, you know, it's
somebody's
a dark,
chasing you.
It's a dark
get in
and
house.
Stormy night. So you're being chased. You have to do it in a hurry. You get, like, one chance. Okay, you actually have to roll it, and there's actually a challenge now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you focus on it and you push such detail into it.
Makes sense.
It, like, and that's why Bayonetta is a good example of it.
I like
it.
Bayonetta. I do.
Bayonetta's really good.
Like, that's what I've been thinking of this whole time when we're talking about games that, like, do a lot, but still. Because, like, you got all the attacks, all of the things you can do to dress her up, you know. But then you also have, like, the little touches on it, where, like, at the end of a fight scene, you have, like, the Giga Impact thing, and then you gotta run and get away. And I like the whole thing behind her. And I haven't even played the game. I've just watched you guys play it.
Would you like to borrow it? I've brought it back with me.
It's for the Xbox 360. I can...
Yeah.
I would very much enjoy borrowing that.
I will let you borrow that.
I appreciate that.
But, like, yeah, like, this is what, like, but my original example, I'll just restate it for the recording, was Killzone 2.
Yes.
Where, it was a PlayStation 3 game. The PlayStation 3 has a six-axis controller. The only use of the six-axis controller in that game was when you are zoomed in on the sniper rifle, it keeps track of the motion of your hands. So, in order to have a steady shot in the game, you must actually have steady hands. That is the only time motion controls is used, and it was so effective. It was the as soon as I got the sniper rifle and I realized that was happening, that was basically the reason I continued playing that game.
Mm.
Because that just felt so good. It was an augmentation.
Mm-hmm. And then one thing I got to say that doesn't have to do with that, but does, is with Little Big Planet. I don't know if you guys have actually, like, played.
Yeah,
the part
yeah.
with, like, where you can do the,
yeah,
the controller up and down.
Yeah, you can waggle your head around.
Like, you can make them dizzy and stuff. That, to me, is a really cool thing to add on to the game.
Because it has no impact on the gameplay.
But it's fun.
But, you know, it's an amusing thing that happens in this game. And we're here to have fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
except for shooting games. Then we're here to kill. Headshot.
Like, it's sort of the idea of, like, you need to have your core concept of a game. Like, if you want to make a shooter game, you make a shooter game. If you want to add other things into it, they can't get in the way of whatever your goal was.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, going back to examples that we brought off before we started recording, what I brought was the Zelda games on the DS, mm-hmm. where you, for, you know, generations of video games, had a very set formula with Zelda games. It's like, well, you're going to walk around, and there's going to be dungeons and everything, and you're going to get the items and stuff. So, you know, that was intact in those games, but what they did was, you know, overhauled the whole control scheme using the DS stylus and the touchscreen and everything, which I have to admit, you know, full disclosure here, I haven't actually played those games, aside from some, like...
The multiplayer?
Yeah,
keeps making us play?
The single-cart multiplayer. Which, like, it was amusing in the... When we were just kind of silly, like, well, we're gonna get the... Force Gemerald's gonna collect the shit, but, like, it was... I don't know how that would work out actually playing it. Like, actually playing a Zelda game with that.
Mm.
Because it seemed, like, really loose and kind of finicky.
Figure out how to get around it.
So that, to me, seems like an example of where, you know, an innovative new technology was just kind of forced into, you know, an old standard. And it's like, oh, well,
Scribblenauts.
I guess that's cool. Well, Scribblenauts is its own thing.
It's just them on its own, though.
Yeah.
That's another talk. Well, what I keep thinking about and what I want to bring up is Resident Evil. Like, the old school Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like...
Oh, yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Because that's basically a prime example, because the argument has been made that the reason why those games were so scary was because the controls were so bad, that's what was making it likely you would die all the time.
Yeah, it took, like, you know, 2 seconds to turn around in a half circle so that you could get that zombie, which was probably staggering off screen where you couldn't aim at it anyway.
Yeah, because they locked the camera, because they could only render pictures beforehand and then just sort of put you in them.
And then, you know, fast forward to Resident Evil... Are we on four or five now?
We're on five.
Where it's no longer a survival horror. It's just kind of a third-person shooter with zombies.
Yeah. And
Left
even then,
Dead.
Just, yeah. I mean, it's... Oh, don't get me started on Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead shouldn't be a zombie game. I would feel a lot better if they were aliens.
If they were aliens?
Or
why?
Robots or anything.
See...
Because zombies are supposed to be scary. In this game, I am
Yeah.
A tank will scare me. All of the other little guys piss me off. And everything else just dies immediately.
But
it's not a
scary game.
Coming
from the point of view of a person who can't do a shooter game for her life, zombies that move hella slow, I can hit. And if a tank comes, I just run away screaming till one of you guys kills it anyway. So, I mean, Left 4 Dead is the ideal game for a person who can't play a shooter but wants to play with their friends.
You hear that, Valve? You hear that?
Well,
I didn't play Left 4 Dead 2, though. I just watched, and I decided it was dumb before I even started, so I didn't buy it.
Because it's the same game, but with
no,
more
it's
punching.
Not, though, because
the
enemies are
different.
The common effect, or the special infected,
yeah.
are different. I mean, you have a jockey.
There's a couple of different.
It jumps on your head, and, like, I won't say what it does, but, you know, people can get the idea.
Yeah.
And, like, you have the woman who's, like, puking up her guts on you, which is
yeah.
basically the boomer, but not the boomer.
Well, she leaves piles, and her idea is she cuts
She does
off,
area damage.
She cuts off your movement, because she'll, like, spray an area, and then you can't move it until it goes away. So yes, they changed
it a bit.
I had
the southern
but...
feel. I mean, I love the South, I have family down there, but I really don't want to play a redneck game.
There's that, too.
Except for
yeah, the
awesome.
Weird like the weird banjo music they have for the horde is just
and like you're running through a cornfield after climbing down a building and people are just no. I already did the cornfield in the first game. I don't need to do it again with sewer pipes. I'm cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, where we were before.
Oh,
Left
it does
dead.
Have the grenade launcher.
Does it?
Now. Yeah, it's got the what's name mortar.
Except for
one.
They did have
Vietnam.
The axe in that game, which I gotta say I enjoyed the axe.
But the guitar was fun. Because the guitar is great because you hit it and it goes twang.
See, I watched Dan play and Dan was like, yo, Jill, look at this. You'll love it. And like
and
he just starts hacking slashing with that and then he picks up a chainsaw.
And whacking and slashing.
And I was like, okay. But I don't own an Xbox yet and I already bought the first
smacking.
Game before the Xbox. I'm not buying another one before I own an Xbox.
Well, now you have an Xbox.
Yeah, I do. I got it for free.
Eckbag.
The way everything in life should be.
Yeah.
So, motions in games.
Yeah.
Back to where we
well,
were.
Well, I was just going to kind of say, sort
okay.
of to wrap up where we were. If you have... Like, that's a way to do it. sort of, like...
The little embellishments.
Or it's to keep it sort of thematic.
Mm.
Like, again, what Dave and Joel were talking about in Splinter Cell Conviction, mm-hmm. where, like, they use the game, they use an element in the game to express something in their story, where, like, you get to mark people for execution, and then, you know, you have to punch somebody in the head, and then you're allowed to execute them, but then you have to punch somebody else before you can do it again. I have the demo of that. It's actually all right. Mm. I'd like to see the full game, because apparently storytelling is where it's at. But what happens is that this one section, Sam Fisher gets totally pissed off. Like, he, like, the guy who killed his daughter just, like, slipped through his grasp, and he's just... And so, you don't have to punch people.
Huh.
You just get to kill everyone immediately. And it's, like, sort of, like, built into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's thematic. Like, it's appropriate for the game. And I'm saying you can do the same thing. What I was talking about Resident Evil was, if you, like, I could see bad camera and controls be an issue. Like, there's almost like MMO kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really big, scary monsters who do a status effect, like confusion or panic, that swaps your controls backwards around.
Yeah.
I really like it when they do that. Because it's a gameplay element that says your character is going, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck. And so you're having a hard time controlling him because he's having a hard time controlling himself.
Kind of when you try to play Southpaw after playing it regular for so long, even though you're a lefty. And it's like, whoa,
exactly
what? I can't look.
I could also see, as far as bad camera goes, like something big comes on screen. It would make sense that you would be staring at it all the time. So at that point, you could, like, lock the camera on it, even if there was stuff off-screen that you should be looking at to make it really easy.
So, like, your character is freaking out and has tunnel vision on the big scary monster.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Which does.
See, like, something like that could be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And be very effective. As opposed to crap like that happening all the time, in which case you just get pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
thematically
appropriate. It's...
What could be done, then, for a shooter game that would have a storyline and be fun... is have each battle be a little bit different. Rather than like with Final Fantasy where it's like, okay, auto mode, you know, can autopilot itself. Have it be like, for example, one boss has the ability to do that. Give the bosses different themes or abilities they can do during the game to change the way that your battle style would have to work.
We were talking about this last night because we were playing Mega Man.
Well, Mega Man.
Mega Man 2 and all the Mega Mans, pretty much. It's been argued by that guy who ranted about Disgaea on his blog.
Oh, yeah. I knew him as Meon or Shooting Games.
but that guy put forward the argument, which I completely agree with, that Mega Man was great because it was 8 plus. It was 8 plus levels. And each level had unique backgrounds, music, and enemies with unique patterns to them.
Mm.
Yes.
So it's sort of like, it's almost sort of...
So it was, you know, a series of mostly unique experiences only tied together by...
The main player
character. Your means of interacting,
like,
with them.
Which is how it would be if you were actually, like, fighting a sequence of events in order. You're not going to walk into battle and, like...
It's
They're
like,
all
well,
going to surround
shit.
You.
All right, let's do this.
Yeah.
It's like each level is unique, even though your experience the way you interact is the same. So, yeah.
And, I mean, there on sort of a small scale, you kind of see the introduction of, you know, those little embellishments where it's like, okay, well, this is the ice level, so things don't work quite the same here. The floor is slippery.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, this is Metal Man stage. It's some kind of... weird factory or whatever. So here are conveyor belts.
I don't know what game this was, but like games like Resident Evil or Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was in one of those games, but there was some game where, like, you walk into a room and the puzzle is you have to blow out the candles.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the microphone and you blow out the candles, and things like simple things like that really.
I believe it was Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Rebecca talked about it.
Oh, the re-release on the DS.
That could be. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I have that one.
That was also the one where you had to give a guy CPR by blowing into the microphone, and if he blew too hard, it's just like blood squirted out of his chest.
Yeah.
Because
oh.
he got bitten by a giant snake, and you can fix that with CPR. You know, holes
totally.
In their chest.
Totally.
He died.
Oh.
I could not blow softly enough.
Ryan.
I played the saxophone. And large lungs. Or something.
They are huge.
Enormous. You can't even believe these shits.
That's what she said.
About my lungs? That's weird.
I don't know. It's just what I felt like saying, and I'm a she, so it's that's what she said.
Okay.
Where was I?
I honestly don't know, but I have a side note.
Okay.
Did you ever play the Shaman King game?
No.
Okay, it was for the PS2.
Yes.
And I got this game, and I really liked it. It was really good. It was like exactly what I'm into. The strategy, you know, it's got like a chessboard kind of thing going on, but it's a battle scenario, but it's basic attacks, you know. Totally up my alley. Storyline, everything I could want. I get to the end of the game. You have to kill the main characters to win the game. But see, you would never figure this out because there was always this retry option.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get close to dying, you're going to retry. You don't want to do the final bosses all over again. 3 days later, I finally gave up and went to the internet and it told me this. I couldn't believe it, so I tried it.
Yeah.
Then I won the game.
So it was one of those fights that you're supposed to lose?
Yes.
But it just gave you the option of retrying when you lost?
Well, no, because right before I would die,
yeah,
I'd retry. Because, I mean, it was like a stage of like three bosses in a row.
Yeah.
And like, who the hell wants to do three bosses in a row again? After you fight, so I kept pausing it and I'd leave it overnight because I'd get angry. You actually have to kill your best friend in order to win. But instead of dying, like it tells you she will in the beginning, she goes to the hospital and she's fine. I was so mad. This game could have been so good from, like, my point of view. I know for you guys it'd be really boring because
I like tactics games.
Like Shaman King.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of Shaman King.
Well, have the PS2 game if you guys want it. It was like, one of the four games I didn't sell.
It's kind of like that thing we were talking about before the other night when we were talking about...
JoJo's.
Okay, it is like JoJo's, but it was also like Pact Magic from the Tome of what's names that we were talking about the other day. The thing in D&D, the...
Oh, like where you let the gods imbue themselves in you.
Yeah, you let like weird dead spirits and, you know, lost gods and shit just kind of ride you for magic powers.
Yeah. So we were talking about Resident Evil.
The other thing that did that to me was Chrono Cross. Like, the way that game gave you characters was bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, Mike.
I played like a couple hours of that game and then I was like, huh, I wonder if I'm missing out on anything. I guess I'll go read a guide. It was like, oh, I missed out on, like, six characters.
Fuck.
And the one I got was the Glam Rocker.
Like, I wasn't even able to find him when I played. Like, the only character I was able to find without, like, studying the strategy guide was the Magician guy.
Yeah. I saw him, the foppish swordsman, and I couldn't figure out how to do either of their things, but the Glam Rocker was just like, hey, I need to go to this swamp. I was like, okay, let's go to this swamp. I guess that, you know, shuts me out of those other guys who look so much cooler than you.
Yeah.
Who don't wear leather straps for
clothes.
Don't
hack, as you've been playing. Mm-hmm. If you don't trade with certain people in the first game, you can't unlock shit in the fourth game. After I've put in, like, 200 plus hours, by getting to halfway through the second game, I restarted, only to do it again because I got to the third game and it would not let me unlock the last thing. And you know how I am with collecting things. I gotta get them all.
Yeah.
So, I played the first two games three times and this is making four now.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't have everything because I know I missed trading with A14 on the second level to give her the four holy waters that I needed to give her to get the cougar boots. But it's okay. I'll cry myself to sleep later over it.
Oh my god.
She's hidden behind the grunty thing, guys, okay?
The fact that you could just pull that out, just like boom, boom, boom.
Well, because
it's infuriating.
Well, what happens is you get Tsubasa by doing that in the fourth game. He unlocks the shadow. When you unlock his shadow in the fourth game, you get one of the special elements to kill the last boss. If you have all of the elements of the armor to kill the last boss, you walk in the battle, he's dead. Like, you do three hits, the guy dies. Otherwise, you're there forever just hacking and slashing, and it's like, why the fuck am I doing this?
Oh, man.
So,
I don't even...
I bought the third book only because I figured if I couldn't get it by the third book, I'm not going to go into the fourth game.
Mm-hmm.
That's my rant on Dot Hack and how pissed off that makes me. Sorry, listeners.
No, it's okay. That's good. FF8 did stuff like that sometimes, but it was nowhere near as egregious. Like, you'd sometimes, like, your characters would black out and you'd be, like, in the past as this dude, Laguna.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in, like, the military and shit. I don't know. But, like, you'd be passing through the same areas as him and then your main party later. And, like, if you picked up any items as Laguna in the past, you missed out on all sorts of crazy crap as your main party that actually matters in the future.
Yeah. Chrono Trigger had a few things like that.
Well, yeah. Chrono Trigger had a lot of crazy bullshit. That game.
I never beat that game either.
But I think I've almost beat that game like 3 times, and I've just lost. Like, I was just like, eh, whatever. Then, look, you could just crash into Lavos like right after you get to the end of the time. You could just win the game right there.
Just crash into him?
Yeah.
With the ship?
You can crash the ship into him. There's a bucket at the end of time that leads to Lavos.
Oh yeah, there is. At the end of time.
At the end of time.
That's,
you know,
that's where I'm building my fortress.
That street lamp with the little dude. Fortress?
Yeah. Well, because I imagine that, you know. Like, I'd say it was right down the street, but, you know, place with no spatial dimensions. But, like, that street lamp is in the same place where the end of No Credit is, and is in the same place where...
Oh, okay. And yeah. Star Road leads there.
Yeah. The end of the universe
is. And all that place is where I'm going to build my fortress.
Okay. But like the...
I was actually thinking about that.
Like the place where you go in Morrowind if you do a door in properly.
Yeah. We need to load up a null level.
Yeah.
You need to make the restaurant at the end of the universe, then.
Well, that's kind of weird, because that's actually at a place. It's in Magrathea.
Yeah. See, I've never read the book. I just know about the restaurant.
No, because I was thinking about this. And that's going to be weird, because to get there, to start construction, I'm going to need to design, like, what do you call it when it's not symmetric? Asymmetric. I'm going to have to build in, like, 2 asymmetric teleportation devices, but only build one of them. So that way the other one remains in the realm of dreams and ideas.
Ah.
Because then I turn this one on and I teleport to it.
Okay. I was thinking maybe you just had to die.
No, because then how do I get the wood there?
Just drop it to your back. Be a man, take it as a ghost.
Grab it and dump it to fire?
Yeah. Put it in your will. Just like, when I die, please bring this list of construction materials
to the gravesite.
To
my coffin.
Wherever it is I wound up.
Here, just tie it. Just, I'll hold this end, and then you kill me, and then I'll pull when I get there.
Good times.
But we were talking about motion controls.
Yeah, we were. And then I think of Mario. What was the one? Was it Mario Sunshine? Is that what I'm thinking of?
That didn't have motion controls.
No, it didn't. But it's Galaxy? What I'm thinking of. No, it was before motion controls. It was like one of the first games for the GameCube.
Then Sunshine.
But I think of, like, that would have been a good game to have motion controls in. For your water thing.
Yeah.
Because think of how much more fun that would have been than being annoyed with the button and pushing them and...
But if you could just kind of point and shoot it.
Yeah, if you could have just... That would have been a good game to have a motion control in.
Mm.
Something like that is where I think motion controls are needed. Not like tennis. Though I gotta give... The board? The Wii Fit?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
The Wii Fit's fun.
That is... It's a really good idea to get kids off their ass, finally.
But the only game...
And it also gets, you know, soccer moms doing it, too.
Yeah, which is... Yeah.
Which, actually, I think I'm, like, this close to getting my mom to get a Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll leave it here with her, and she can play it and have fun with it. But okay, so like the only game that I find really fun on the Wii Fit is the one where it's balls on the board, and you have to roll the balls around by shifting your weight to get them in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a full-body monkey ball.
Ah. That's awesome.
That's really fun, and I'm the only one who was able to beat it, because we were playing it in class, in my psychology of games class,
mm-hmm.
and we were discussing it and stuff, and I was the only one who was able to beat normal and advanced mode. Ooh. And everybody else was just like, there's no lip on this level! Ah!
Well, monkey balls. I mean, really, Nick?
You're kind of balling.
Yeah.
At the thing.
Like, I mean, you unlocked special stage 27, was it, if I recall?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Like, I mean, you just kept going with no
just
lives.
Kept going.
But what is it for a man to gain the world if he should lose his soul? Special stage 27, if I recall.
It's a paraphrase.
That was good.
But yeah, embellishment. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I am optimistic about for the Xbox One is they want to have like the hand tracking to navigate the menus.
One?
No, the Project Natal.
Oh, I'm thinking of Move. Okay.
Because what they're saying is they're going to have it so you can, like, gesture to navigate menus.
Yeah.
So, like, you remember we were doing the instant queue thing? You would be able to just, like, go, like, swipe left and right to move left and right. Because that's a little embellishment. That could be kind of cool. And it's, like, just enough.
I like things to move with the buttons. I'm really, like, touch screens I'm not big on.
I'm not big
like,
on them either,
they're
really
cool as shit, but, like, I'm not Tony Stark. I don't need to move my hands and have the board open up in the sky. You guys saw the movie, so you understand.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, again, it's a matter of using it where it's appropriate. Like, because I like digital buttons. Like, when playing Soul Calibur 3, I will bring the PS1 controller. And
dude doesn't even like analog buttons.
No, analog buttons are an abomination.
But then how do you play MGS3?
Badly. Like, it's always like, hey you, next snap. Shit.
So wait, that's going to be the only way you could do the menu, or could you still
do
it on the controller?
You're still going to have the controller.
Okay.
But like I'm saying, because they want to make whole games where you move your entire body and do random shit.
Well, see, I could see that being cool in the respect of you are in the game finally. So for little kids, I can see where that could be a really good interactive thing. Like, put Dora on the screen, go on an adventure, blah, blah, blah. But, like, for us, I mean, I want a game where I can play the game. I don't want to be jumping up and down, like, somebody recording me and putting it on YouTube and seeing myself look like an idiot.
Like,
you know?
I'm far more interested in what the internal game mechanics are. I don't want to have to fight with the controller to get it to recognize me doing this.
Especially when we go back to the level of abstraction that we were talking about before. It's like, you know, if I'm going to play Ninja Gaiden, I don't want to have to, you know, pantomime a backflip to do a backflip.
Mm-hmm. Actually, another note on Ninja Gaiden, also referencing a note on Mega Man 2, I almost kind of think games like Ninja Gaiden are actually worse off because they don't have that idea of, like there are common enemies that are everywhere.
Yeah.
Like no two stages in... Well, no, I guess stages in Mega Man do share enemies.
Yeah.
But only, like, a couple that are sparingly used.
Yeah, like Sniper Joe, kind of the iconic ones, Metools.
And the...
Yeah, the wiggly guy.
That's his name now.
So, if you had a motion screen, though, there's nothing to say that while we're sitting in front of your screen right here, you couldn't be in the front jumping up and down while me and Ryan are on the sides doing the woogly woogly and the screen's not bugging out and the game's not crashing. I mean, there's going to be so much going on. All you got to do is have somebody walk behind you or in front of you on the screen.
And it could mess everything up.
And it could change the whole game.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I want to know I am in control of what I'm doing.
Exactly. Thank you. That's why.
Because isn't that the point of playing a video game, is to be able to make the character do something, not to be the character doing something.
Okay, so let me tell you about the cell phone.
It's about distance.
It is.
Let me tell you about the cell phone. We were looking at the cell phone, and it has a touchscreen, and it has tilt centers, and it has buttons.
Was it the droid?
I don't know.
It's got to be the droid.
No, it wasn't the droid. It was something. It was like a Sprint phone or something.
Sprint has a touch phone.
But it was, we were trying to look at pictures on it, right? And so we were looking at the pictures, and then we tilted it, and the picture went away. And that pissed us off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to hit the buttons to make it go back, and it worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I, like, pointed at it, and I slid it, and it started to work. But then I tilted it the other way, and it just started freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
I mean, it's a work in progress, yes, but if it's a work in progress,
it's a work in progress
because
people keep fucking it up.
Yeah.
You can use it simply and have it work immediately. Mm-hmm. It may not do everything, but it doesn't need to, because that's what will make it fuck up.
Well, what is it, the iPad by Mac now?
Yeah.
I'm watching the commercial for it, and, like, maybe I'm just slow or something, but the thought of, like, maximizing your picture and flipping the board and... No. I just want to be able to, like, push the button and it's going to go to the next thing, not slide it away, oh, I want you to come back. No.
Yeah, like...
There's too much going on there that doesn't need to be going on.
Okay, so did you know that with, like, the Mac laptop, like the regular ones, it tracks how many fingers you have on a touchpad, and it's like, if you use the one finger, it moves the mouse around. If you use two fingers, it, like, moves the window around. And if you take three fingers and flick them, it'll just throw all the windows minimized.
Yes,
it'll
because...
It'll do weird stuff
like
that.
Yes, Ilya did it with his, and, like, that, he had two screens, and he could throw it from one side of the room. Man, I love my Toshiba.
Like,
keep
like,
it simple.
If people can do that accurately... People have too much fucking free time. I'm sorry.
This is true. Or they're just too skilled in one area.
Yeah, like how many skills did you miss out on because you were practicing that and getting that to actually work reliably?
Yeah.
Like, but
But it's amazing how far touchscreens have come quite quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, That's one thing I got to give the companies credit for. As soon as somebody puts something out, they're all on top of it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of good because they're trying to improve it. But
somebody has to come up with something cool that is effective and works. Then they make better technology for it, and then it increases. And then people start trying to use it for everything, and they start fucking it up because they're using it for everything.
But it seems like that phase got missed. They never really made it better. They just kind of
made it
everywhere.
Go. Touchscreens have been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Technology isn't getting better, but it's been getting a lot slower because a lot of people are like, why do I need to touch the screen? Okay, you know you know how they have like the Cintiq or like the thing where it's like it's a tablet PC, so you get the stylus.
Yes.
And then you draw right on the screen and it's pressure sensitive and
that's what you have for your
I don't draw right on the screen. I draw on the tablet and then the screen is still up here. They have ones where it's the same brick.
Is that what Brian has for his engineering?
Maybe.
I think that's what I'm thinking of then.
Okay.
But you want to know something?
What?
I hate that. I got to try one. I got to try one of the expensive, like, you know, $1,500 ones.
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. Because, and this is the simplest thing, and I'm surprised nobody has ever had this problem. I went to draw, and my hand was here. Right on top of what I was drawing. I don't need to be drawing on what I'm looking at. That's one of the things I hate about traditional drawing, is that I go scribble, 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 and then smudged, and I'm all black on my hand up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, try being a lefty with a pencil, man.
Yeah, no,
by the time I was
worse.
Done writing, my hand would be black.
Happens to me, and I'm right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just right to left. Make people deal with it.
Do it. That'd be so great.
Do it, though? Okay, I'll try. Let's see. Maybe I'll write
just formulate everything that you want to write in your head,
and then
just write the sentences out backwards.
Wouldn't that be really cool to watch? Like, imagine if somebody perfected that. I think I'm going to go for that. That's
going to
be my new
hobby. Well, I mean,
there's
people who can, you know, sing backwards as in, like, you know, I've listened to a recording of this song played backwards and have learned to mimic those sounds.
Oh, well,
so now I can sing the Star Spangled Banner literally backwards.
As we were saying, people with too much time.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like a showmanship thing. That's...
And being able to control your Mac perfectly isn't a showman thing anymore. Like, friends, gather around my computer that costs more than my car sometimes and marvel at my ability to flick the screen correctly.
No, I mean. that's like exactly what I was talking about earlier with the telephone equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you weren't there. But I was telling you guys.
Telephone. Oh, yes, you did tell me about
this. Okay, so they had this telephone, like, kiosk station that, like, operators used.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when they had to connect a call, they would have to push two buttons, and the buttons were on the opposite sides of the keyboard. And so these guys were like, all right, we're going to upgrade these. Let's make it more efficient. Let's put those two buttons, you know, really close to each other. Okay, that actually slowed down productivity. Like, they did... It's actually really cool. They made, like, a kind of like a flow chart, kind of like a graph kind of thing, where they... wrote out nodes of everything that happened. Like person says this, person thinks about saying this, person looks at this key, person moves hand to this key and presses it. Like, it was an extremely detailed, like, chart of all these things happening. And what they found out is on the new one, because these buttons were now accessible by one hand, people had to move from one key to the other key. And that actually slowed it down, because on the old one, people would hit this key, the other hand would already be at the other key. And it actually slowed productivity down by, like 4% or something like that.
Which is weird, but makes sense when, like, you stop to think about it.
But it's one of those things where it's like, you think you're making it better, but there's probably something you're missing that people won't notice until, you know, everybody gets to take a look at
it. Until we've already realized, oh, wait, we've been using this, and, oh, I guess it's worse.
Yeah. But then people will be stubborn, and it's the idea of sunk cost. Like, but we paid, you know... thousands of dollars for this new stuff. We can't just switch back to the old stuff.
Well, if we're let's put this in perspective is what I'm looking for. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, the application of new technologies, you know, motion control, touch screens and stuff in video games, at the end of the day, the productivity of, you know, you playing the video game is not really the most valuable what's the name word I'm looking for here?
The function.
It's not their goal?
Yeah, it's not the primary function of the thing. Like, looking at that, you know, used in a business sense, it's like, yeah, well, that became less productive. You know, it's like, well, did they have more fun pressing the two buttons next to each other?
Well, I mean,
well, yeah, because a lot of games are based on, like, when you when they rate games, when they do like the betas or the prototypes, and they have people come in, that's really important, because if they don't like the game,
like it may not be a thing about like productivity or speed, but there's a lot to do with accessibility and finding intuitive ways so that people can find what they're looking for. I mean, think about something like MMOs again, like, you know, like menus upon menus and lists and items and screens.
Yeah.
There's a lot that has to go into that so that it's playable.
Mm.
I mean, because really they say that the or one of the theories is that the fun part of games is learning the system.
Mm.
Like, you know,
I can agree with that.
I mean, that's why tic-tac-toe isn't fun once you're like 4.
Yeah.
Because you have learned the system, you have mastered it.
It's like, we've solved this game. There's no point in playing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. There's nothing else to learn from it. Whereas, you know, like, I mean, that's why I think really high-skilled players, like, unless you start playing for money or start playing in the social sense, like where you're comparing teams against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you get really good at a game, like with Left 4 Dead, if you get really, really good at a game where
eventually you're just playing by rote. Like, you're just following the formula that you figured out is the, you
Which
know,
is
this
why
is how
it's
I beat this game.
If you have learned the system, it stops being fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you start playing co-op or you start playing versus or things like that, then you're almost playing the other players. You're learning the system of them. You're learning their behaviors.
Which is why it gets boring when you only play with your friends, because
then you learn all your
For
friends.
Example, yeah. I'm going to be perched up somewhere with a sniper rifle praying to God nobody turns around and sees me, whereas Jesse's going to be running in, doing anything, dual wielding. Yeah.
And it's like, you know how that, you know, scenario plays out every time. It's like, well, if he runs in, then I die. If he runs in somewhere else, then he dies.
Yeah.
I
can definitely say, like in my experience, like playing tactical RPGs, like I got a lot more enjoyment out of Phantom Brave than I have with Disgaea, because in Phantom Brave there's a lot more stuff. Like Disgaea has very, very set, you know, unit progression and stuff. It's like, well, if you're using swords, you're going to get sword skills, and these are the units that can get sword skills well. And like everyone progresses the same way. But it's like, okay, I understand that system. And I don't actually want to play 80 hours of that system.
Yeah.
You're right, Nick, because maybe that's why I don't enjoy Pokemon as much anymore. Because I figured out the perfect way to punch the numbers to beat the game in 24 hours. I mean, where do I go once I do that? I've collected all the Pokemon already.
I've seen you, I'm watching you guys all do that, and I'm like, okay, so this game has been solved. I could learn I could go on to Bulbapedia, learn what the solution is, and that's homework.
Yeah.
I don't want to do homework.
And that's why if we actually want to keep going with that, we should just stop playing that game and just start using, like, Shoddy Battle or one of those online services where it's just like, okay, so this is the Pokemon that I want in my team. Here's my team of six. Doop, 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 doop. Okay. My team of six has been trained. Let's fight.
Well, the only thing I liked about
you can do that?
Diamond and Pearl, though. Oh,
yeah, like, that would be cool. Because
I gotta say, though, for the, not Soul Silver and those, but Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum, I liked how they added other elements, though. Like the digging, and then, what was it, the battle tower, but they upgraded it for my version. That gave me an interesting thing, because, like, in one of the things you could go in, the Battle Factory, I believe it was, you could go in, you get 3 random Pokemon. Well, I don't know what I'm gonna get. And that really was a challenge, because that's a different system.
It's finally a new unknown factor for
you.
Yes,
and, like, digging. It took me forever to figure out what the hell I was doing, and that was fun.
Well, I think it's also part of, it changes the scope of what system you're looking at. Like, going back to sort of Disgaea versus Phantom Brave, that guy who was playing really loved Disgaea. And he liked it, you know, a lot for the storyline, I feel, but
I think the storyline and the humor in Disgaea is like a, I don't know, I really like the story in Phantom Brave. I don't know, they're qualitative differences.
Yeah, but, I think it's entirely possible that the system that you saw and the perspective you saw it from, you were able to solve. But perhaps he was seeing another part of the system that had intricacies that intrigued him and that he was trying to learn about. Like there was
and his system was, you know, what is going on in this world?
Well, not just that, but, like, there was a whole, like, you know, demon council thing and being able to, like sort of, like, there's, like, simple, like, or maybe not simple, but, like, there's, like, character progression. Like, how do I get this character from where he is to level whatever? But then there's also, like, you know, how do I get the characters I want on my team? How do I use that team in the battle? What battles are best to use my teams in? Like, there's a lot of ways to approach a system with new goals.
Okay. You get a Star Mage. You only worry about Star. You forget Megastar and Gigastar and the rest because they take more, you know, MP than you're going to actually need, and you're going to have the first one trained up a hell of a lot more anyway. And as you train it up, it does more damage, it takes the same amount of MP, and it gets increased in range and area. Wow. So you just get a magical artillery piece that you plop in the center, you surround it by ninjas to beat up anyone who comes near, and you blow everything up with your star mage.
See, and that's how game systems become solved, and the game becomes kind of redundant for you.
It's like, well, I'm trying to say, like, it's almost like what we were talking about with, like, Mabinogi and, you know, our unique goal.
Oh, yeah, because we set our own goal where we're just like...
Like, if you solved it by doing that, and I guess this also applies to Scribblenauts, but it's also sort of like, you know...
Oh, yeah, well, it applies very well to Scribblenauts.
Yeah, so it's like you go in and say, like, well, I'll do it differently. Mm-hmm. Like it's sort of like, okay, so now how can I do this without doing that?
Yeah.
Like, sort of, like, not just solving the system, but exploring it to see if there are other solutions as well.
Okay.
And then fighting the solutions against each other to see which one is best, and then maybe you have it ultimately solved. But, you know, if you see it and you solve it to one extent, and you don't, you aren't interested by the other ones, because maybe, like, subconsciously you can foresee how to find a solution, and you don't want to do that homework, then... I think that's a big part of it, is, like, you don't want it to become homework.
Well, yeah. That makes it true, too, because, I mean, like, hell, we could all play the same game. I'm going to collect everything. Ryan's going to do it very differently from that. And, like, Ryan's going to get the stuff he needs.
It takes a certain robustness of the system to actually have those different ways to, you know...
Play a game and enjoy
it. Yeah, to solve the game, you know, to find your solution to it, because you can't do that with, say, tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Because that is a very simple game. It's like, you're going to go in the upper left corner, or you're going to either lose or draw.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's... I have nothing else to add.
Yeah, that's...
That was a point.
You have solved that part of the conversation.
Plop.
But yeah, motion controls. Right. To bring it back, the whole idea of solving systems is... It's fun to solve systems. A well-designed game will have a system that is complex enough that it is a challenge to solve it, that it will take a while to solve it, that you can derive fun from learning
it. That's one way a game could be good.
There are arguments that whatever you describe, you're actually describing a system that you are learning, and that's where you're getting the fun from, no matter which part you say is fun. That's kind of how the theory works.
So it's like, I enjoy the music. Well, your brain is obviously trying to pick the part, the music, into what makes it up.
Yeah, kind of.
Run.
And why it's best for certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Run.
Run.
Run. Little Big Planet was made to run!
Little Big Planet was fun.
Run!
But
run!
Little Big... That game was also about content exploration.
No. You just ran. That's all you did to get Little Big Planet.
Well, you ran, but like...
Well, I mean, that's in playing, in playing the stages of the game, in playing the creation of the game, that's
a very different
beast.
I mean, that's almost like...
It's a totally new system,
I mean,
to use buzzwords.
It's a bit like a movie, where it's about content learning. Like, unless somebody has built, like, when they build Tetris out of it,
yeah. Or when they built that the side-scrolling shooter.
Yeah. Like, okay, now you're building a new system that we can play with.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you're talking about, like, a lot of the standard levels where it's, like, go right, grab onto the thing, do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's the same thing over and over again, if it's not, you know, a Mega Man experience. But,
Little Big Planet was great because it wasn't a Mega Man. It was run!
Yeah.
I like simple things. I've noticed this. Give me lots of things to collect that are shiny and simple numbers, and I am happy.
Just like bubbles.
I do like bubbles.
Bubbles. Yeah, but, so if you want to have a system, if you want the system to be fun, then, you know, you can't make your controls get in the way. I don't want to have to solve your controls before I get the chance to have fun with learning your system.
That's why it worked well with, like, the voice augmentation and the other, the sniper one. Because that wasn't in the introduction of the game. That was added later after you started to figure out the system as a, oh, well, look at this. This is something else I can look at.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It was part of the system. It wasn't something else I had to cope with and learn in order to go back to that system. It was something just like here's this thing. This is how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I guess putting the horse before the wagon, to use the old idiom. It's like, okay, this is going to be a game with motion controls.
Go!
Now let's make the game, but make sure you include motion controls. Whereas in the case of the sniper rifle thing, it's like, okay, so we have this sniper rifle thing. Is there anything more we can do with that? Well, what if it shakes a little?
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, well, we got motion control. Let's just put that on there. Yeah, all right. And then you got something cool. It's, it wasn't necessary. The same one with the Manhunt example. It mm-hmm. wasn't necessary, but I don't think that's the key to it. It doesn't get in the way of a gameplay.
It doesn't override anything else.
It's
got to
be found in the places where it should belong. Not necessarily in real life, but in the game's play to make it more functional and more, not even interactive, but playable.
It's something else. Like, the game never told you that. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually took me maybe like a half hour of playing with the sniper rifle to realize that that's what was going on. I was like, man, it's kind of jumpy. And then I was like sitting really still one second. I was like, it's not as jumpy as usual. Oh my god! Like, it was fun, and it was great because I learned about it. They didn't have to tell you, do you have to do this to make the sniper rifle work? You didn't have to tell me. Mm-hmm. It was intuitive, which, you know, is something I'm big into because it's the whole psychology thing. But it was a part of the system. It was something that you had to learn about, and it wasn't something that really got in the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of, like, training things getting in the way, oh my god. Oh my god. Okay.
Oh, this is going to be a good one.
Oh man.
I don't even remember what crappy Naruto game it was. Okay, because I played the game and then I went and returned it because I couldn't get through the fucking tutorial.
Really?
One of the combos they had set up in the game was not possible on the controller I had. You had to have the more modern controller because I had, like, the original DualShock and not the newer one, or I had the one without DualShock. So I couldn't push R and A and have it shake and do the stupid thing it wanted to do. So I couldn't get through the fucking tutorial to play the game. Now that's what I'm worried about with these new things that are included. If I can't push R and A on a simple game, how am I going to wave it, press R, press A, and hit pound at the same time?
Yeah. Well, I mean that's really a marketing oversight. It's like, mm-hmm. like, let's make this game. But what if they don't have the thing? What? It's already out the door. I'm sorry.
Like, I took it back open, and I was like, you know what? I don't even care if you give me money for this. I just don't ever want to see it again. And like it was the one in the mall. EB Games, is it?
Yeah.
They were like, why? And I told them why, and the lady looked at me, and she goes, I am so sorry. I'm like, I don't even care. I just don't want to ever hear this game again. It's so bad, I've blocked the name from my memory.
That is great.
They give you 10% for it?
No, they gave me nothing, because I just walked out the door. I never wanted to see it again.
Well, I mean, that's kind of like what, that is sort of going to be an issue. I mean, in a sense, you can't play Wii games without a Wii.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there is that level of it.
But not necessarily. Some of the Wii games are made on other systems.
Well, that's...
So, I mean...
But then it is a Wii and that other system.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of that old Penny Arcade comics, like, well, yeah, Nintendo, I bought your Crystal Chronicles, but what, now I need 4 Game Boys to play it? And I bet I'm going to need friends, too. I probably need to buy a house to do this, unless I'm going to do it in the woods. And I'll probably need to buy food so that I don't die while I'm playing your game.
Goddamn money.
Yeah, kind of like that. Well, basically exactly that.
And that's where they started, and then they just stopped when it came to food. And that's where we players are at. We have these games and no food to play.
Oh, the woe that
Trey
is
wood
alive.
For sheep? Wood for sheep? I need to eat.
Wood for weep.
I go out into the woods I live in and cut you some wood, and you give me some sheep?
We'll level paladin for food.
And if you give me some brick, maybe I make a little box for me. I'm done. That's all I got.
Okay, so...
But I don't think that's going to be as much of an issue. Like, I hope it's not an issue with Natal.
I don't know. I've had it happen a few times in a few different games.
I mean, well...
I am working with, like, PS, the first one controllers, and a PS2 Slim, but, you know, you've made it possible for the game data to work on so many other games. Why do you have to have it mess up on the ones I want to play?
Yeah.
Not that I really wanted to play Naruto, but it was a gift.
Yeah, so you gotta...
So it was like I had to... Oh, I've never been so angry in my life.
But, like, either this is some oversight which they really need to fix, but I have to imagine they have somebody working around the clock on figuring this out. But, like, you know, if you have a Wii, you have the motion control because it came with the system. Mm-hmm. But if you have the Xbox and the PS3, like, they better have some way to make it clear that you cannot play these games without these things, or they have to make it so you can play these games without these things, in which case they're pointless, or if they're not pointless, it's a shitty experience. Mm-hmm. It is poorly designed. Mm-hmm.
because like I was looking at one of the pictures for the move while you say that. Well, while you say that, and it's like the only reason I can think that the move is gonna be sold is because you could play archery.
Yeah,
like that's the same thing as me playing tennis or baseball, which I can't hit a ball.
Well, no, because like in the Wii Sports or whatever, like which is what you're talking about.
Yes, Wii Sports.
It's very abstract because you swing it and that swings the racket. And you don't even have to swing it. You can flick it. And that's actually, like, the power gamer way to play, as it turns out.
Really?
Yeah, no, we were playing the baseball game, and I was sitting there. I was sitting sideways to the screen. I had my hand at my side. And every time the ball came up, I went, home run. Home run. As opposed to the other guy who was playing, who was going, whoof, out. Whoof, out.
Probably because it takes longer.
It's because it's based on acceleration. So, the quiz, you can get it. Yeah.
I mean, I was also trying to do, like, righty-hand batting, which I guess it makes no difference, but it does because of the way you flip. I don't know. Whatever.
But I mean, this is why all of this is an issue, because they saw that I was abstracted, and they're trying to push it in the way that is counterintuitive to video games and to the beauty in their abstraction. Because what they're trying to do with the move and with the Natal, they're trying to make it a less abstracted experience.
Why the Natal? I think of Mrs. Natal from high school, and I'm like, why do I want to play this?
Forgive me,
Mrs. Natal. I never knew you. If you ever hear this, I guess you're a good person. I don't know you.
She won't hear this.
Oh,
good.
We had somebody named Mrs. Natal in our high school.
Yeah, she was an English teacher, I believe.
Oh, I don't know English teachers.
I think she came the year you left. She got married. She was one of the English teachers. She got married.
I just remember Buell and Thomas, and Thomas was the man. He used to play Gunbound.
Yeah. Thomas was great. What about
we had a DVR Kaleo day.
Kaleo was cool, too.
Yeah.
Didn't he have, like, a six-year Russian girlfriend?
Whoa.
Like, a Russian girlfriend for 6 years.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm like, Nick.
Like the one-year war, the six-year girlfriend.
Okay. I know he was the coach of the wrestling team, even though he was kind of like a skinny, kind of short, wiry guy.
Actually,
which maybe would be good for wrestling, because it's like, you're scrappy and stuff.
One-year girlfriend. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, that sounds more right.
All I know is one time he said he would take a bullet for this class. Wow. He's like, if somebody came in the door, he'd be jumping in front of them.
Yeah.
Shield us from the shots.
He can't stand his gym teacher life.
I don't know.
When that happened, I was in Mr. Thomas's class, and he was like looking at us. He goes, okay, they tell us to stay in the room, but we're on the bottom floor in the front of the building. The police and the ambulance are going to come there, go out this window, and hide behind the ambulance. And I was like, is that really your advice? He goes, that's where I'll be. If you're not there, that's not my fault. I was like, Mr. Thomas, you are a man among men. Thank you for defending me. And that is raccoon story. I will remember that to the day I die because I laughed so hard I fell out of my chair.
All right, this is the Aliku Studios high school student review. High school teacher review. Blur.
Because we talk about movement and we go back to high school because we've become sedentary since high school ended. Not really, but...
Stationary? Sedentary?
I don't know. Sedentary. I didn't really give a fuck about... that's the first F-bomb of this podcast.
No, I dropped it twice.
No, I've been saying it a lot.
Oh, well, that's mine then.
I take it from you.
I didn't.
Me wood. Give me sheep!
Woo!
Bye.
Hey, look, I'm back here and it's still recording me.
Oh, this is nice.
This is genius.
So,
but yeah, you were going to say something intelligent before,
I don't know,
right?
Something about I didn't really give a damn about, you know, phys ed in high school, and now I fucking love racquetball. I need to go find a club I can join and play racquetball, because that is the sport of kings.
I don't know. In high school, it wasn't so much that I did, like, gym, but, like, there was a period in high school where I was forced to be active, and that made me want to be active not during that time period.
We're digressing. This does not fall under the scope of our publication.
It's movement.
But it's physical movement. We're talking about why
soccer
we shouldn't have too much movement.
Soccer is a freeware game.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I mean, you need to ball.
Yeah, ball.
You can make a ball.
I suppose.
Out of common household items. You get a garbage bag, and you fill it with newspaper, and then there you go. It's also the same way you make a beanbag chair.
That's
really
going to be
ball,
a big ball.
Okay, so...
garbage bag?
Maybe.
Do we have anything to wrap this up? Because we're just rambling.
We need motion controls in video games. we need to come to some sort of a consensus on it. I still put forth that in moderation, they should be an augment to whatever your game system is. They should never be. You should never have to learn your controls in order to play the game.
But we fit, though, is my argument, where moderation is a little bit different.
Unless the game was built around the motion controls?
Which I was going to say, I think there should be games. There should be two types of games with this motion thing. There should be games designed just for motion. For example, the Wii Fit, where it incorporates all these different aspects of it.
But or that Jenga game, which would be impossible with, you know, traditional controls.
It wouldn't be impossible.
Well, it would not be the same game.
Yeah, no, it definitely would not be.
But there should also be the games with moderation. Like, it'd be a cool add-on. It's like the application you can add on to upgrade your version.
If you have it, this will make the game better without getting in the way.
Yes. I agree with you there.
Yeah, like, I think we risk, you know, falling into the realm of neckbearded Grognardia to you know, just cry against, oh, these newfangled...
No, but we're not...
waving games.
No, all of these young people... Oh, God, we're young people. All these stupid people who... say, this is cool, new is always better, let's put this in everything. Like, new is not always better. In fact, new is a lot of times not better, unless it's used right. Something used correctly, something that is better is better.
Yes.
Not something new is better.
But yeah,
things can be new or better.
The ham-fisting of, you know, new innovative control thingies into...
games that don't need them.
Everything.
Into games that don't need them is not necessary. Like, it can be pulled off right. Like, you know, the thing with the sniper rifle you're talking about, The World Ends With You is all right.
I still haven't played that.
Yeah.
Little Big Planet.
Bobbing your head around.
Sensor, it's not actually...
bobbing your head.
Yeah.
What was it? It was Warhawks, the PS3 game.
Yeah.
That the motion controls were in there for controlling the plane.
Yeah.
You couldn't do it.
No.
You just couldn't control it, basically. Like, it was there, you could try it, but... wasn't worth it.
But you could just turn it on and off, right?
Yeah, like you just off, okay. Games with motion controls. Either put motion controls first and foremost so that you don't have to, so that the controls are intuitive and an integral part of the gameplay experience, or they are just an augment to a game which exists on its own.
Basically, if a game has a story, make it augment. If a game is just being a game to be fun, motion controls are all go.
Oh.
I mean, think about it. Jenga. Does it have a story? No.
They gave it one.
Oh, well...
it was Steven Spielberg directed. They gave it one.
But I mean, the general concept of Jenga. It's something we're familiar with. Like, the system like starts the out somewhere.
Many games do not have story. Like they say that that's the actual next thing, is when the gameplay elements and the mechanical systems are affected by and directly reflect the story elements, that is how video games must proceed.
Gotcha.
In order to reach sort of the respect of, you know, they always try to say, like, what is the Citizen Kane of video games?
Metroid Prime.
My mind is blown.
We're not there yet. There's many signs, there's things going towards it, but nothing has reached a great enough level. It's only been in bursts.
When will pizza have its Gone with the Wind?
Don't make me think of this.
So motion sensors and motion movement things.
Controls can't get in the way of the game.
Yes.
Yeah, controls no matter what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this is a stepping stone towards a direction that games could possibly go to become better.
Could.
If things are done correctly.
If you do them correctly, they will help improve games. But sort of games will also have to improve on their own regardless of control scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Until we're just playing games with our brains, man. I mean, that's all. That's all the other games were.
The heck! I want to log into the internet.
Yeah, fuck it. Fuck these motion controls. Give me my VR visor. And give me my fucking Spinal Tap. Just click it to the back of my neck. Boop.
Matrix.
Cut my body off.
Because humankind.
And just let me float.
We're a virus. did you know that?
Okay, so this has been Nick
and Ryan
and Jill. All
right.
I feel so important. I'm getting a call during a podcast. I'm doing a podcast.
Damn. All right.
Yeah,